Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We worship you, Lord. We magnify your holy name. We thank you for your goodness. And Lord, you know we will spend all eternity saying thank you. But we don't want to wait till we get there to do it. So we thank you, thank you, thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word this morning. I pray that this word will be life-changing because you are a life-changing God. We thank you for the precious Holy Spirit who is our teacher, our guide. And so, Lord, we open our hearts to you, our ears to you, our eyes to you, to receive all that you have for us this day. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I've titled my message, I Love Your Voice. That's the first sentence of that second verse. I love your voice. You know, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, 1 John 3, 8, it says, he who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. And then it says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So we know that Jesus came for a purpose, and he fulfilled that purpose through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And then he returned to heaven. And then in his place, the Holy Spirit came. And we read in John 16, verse 17, where Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he said, nevertheless, he said, it is to your advantage that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Helper can't come. And it was the Father's desire that he would have a Helper to come and live in us. Jesus could only be one place at one time, but the Holy Spirit is in each one of us. No matter where we are, each one of us has a Helper on the inside of us. And he too came for a purpose. And we read his purpose in John 16, verse 13. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, number one, he will guide you into all the truth. Not some truth, but how much truth? All of the truth. He will guide you into all the truth. And he lives on the inside of you, always speaking to you. So you can trust his guidance. For two reasons you can trust him. Number one is because he is the Spirit of truth. He only knows truth. He only interacts with truth. He can only speak truth. That's wonderful. So you can trust him. And the other reason why you can trust the Holy Spirit is because he is the Holy. Yeah. Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you and me. You know, that tells me I have the ability to live a clean life. Amen. Not perfect, but I can live clean because the Holy One lives on the inside of me. Another reason why we can trust the Holy Spirit, because whatever he hears, he speaks. And he does not speak on his own authority. He only speaks what he heard the Father tell him to say. For example, let's just imagine a big circle. And God's at the top and we're at the bottom. And the Holy Spirit is living on the inside of us. So when we pray, the Holy Spirit takes our prayer up to the throne room. And the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. He hears every prayer. So he hears the prayer, and then God answers the prayer, and he tells the Holy Spirit, this is the answer I want you to tell my child. So then the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, he now tells us what he heard the Father tell him to tell us. So we're really hearing from God directly because the Holy Spirit only speaks what he heard the Father tell him to say. I love his voice. I love that voice when I hear that voice. And then he does a third thing. He will tell you things to come. He will warn you of danger, and He can tell you about a divine connection. He's always there to help us. You know, I live in Oceanside, California, and I serve my community as a chaplain for the police department. I've now been with them 21 years. I think this might be my last year. I'm not sure, but I haven't earned a penny yet, but after 21 years. But I just love serving my community. But my very first year, actually, I'd only been with them about 3 or 4 months, and I was with a police officer who happened to be a Christian. And that's my job. I actually have my own bulletproof vest. I have a police uniform. I kind of look like the Hulk when I have to wear it. But I have to, because I'm in the police cars with the officer. So I have to have that protection. And so I was with this Christian police officer, and we just almost immediately, we just connected, because he said to me, "So Chaplain, are you a Christian?" I said, "Yes, I am a Christian." He says, "Are you a real Christian?" I said, "You know, I am a real Christian." He says, "I'm a real one too," he said. So we just got bonded. And I started to talk to him about the Holy Spirit. I says, "You know, you have inside information that you didn't learn at the police academy." He said, "What's that mean?" I said, "You've got a built-in helper. Someone that's going to tell you who's behind that door." You know, when we go to domestic calls, those are the worst ones we go on, because you don't know who's behind that door. If they've got a gun or not, you don't know what's going on. I said, "But your helper does." Or you pull up to a car for a traffic violation. The Holy Spirit knows who's in that car. And he thought, "Well, I never heard about that kind of thing." And so he was a young Christian, but you know, we don't learn these things overnight, do we? But we just had such a wonderful time. We prayed together, and he wanted to know more about ministry. He actually had a call of God on his life to be a minister. And he said, "Maybe I should go to Bible school." And I says, "Well, your wife just had your first baby. You're just 26 years old. This is your first job. Rather than just packing up and moving away, just I can get you some information, and you can do correspondence Bible school." He says, "Well, now that, I would like that." I said, "Well, I'll get some information, and I'll bring it out to you tomorrow." So the next morning, in my prayer time, my helper, the Holy Spirit, spoke to me. And he said, "Don't go today." Now, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, several things can happen. He can take you outside of your comfort zone. He's going to challenge you. He's going to stretch you. Or he will tell you that it goes against all logic and reasoning, because God doesn't deal with logic and reasoning. That's why it's called faith. Faith isn't logic and reasonable. Amen? So the Holy Spirit said, "Don't go today." Now, I knew, because I love his voice, I said, "If you don't want me to go, I won't go. Even to me, Lord, it sure seems like a good thing to do, to go and give this police officer correspondence information about Bible school. But if you don't want me to go today, I'll give it to him next week." Then I got busy working in my office, and then I looked up and, "Oh my goodness, it's 3:00. I got to get dressed and get to the police department." Now, I wasn't rebelling. I had just forgotten. And I love that scripture where it says, "The Holy Spirit will bring all things to your remembrance." And I heard on the inside of me, the Holy Spirit said, "Remember not today." I said, "Oh, yes, I'm sorry. I won't go today." That was at 3:00. At 5:00, sad to say, that police officer was shot and murdered. And I'd have been right in the car, right at his side with him. Now, praise God, he went to heaven. But see, you have to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. You know, the more you listen to him, and the more you cultivate a love for his voice, it's so much easier to obey. The Holy Spirit saved my life that day. Have you ever been prompted to do something, and you think, "Oh, I don't know. I don't think I want to do that." And you just kind of shove it off. "No, I'm not going to do that." Or it could be, "No way. I am not going to do that today." And you just kind of, you don't realize it, but you're rebelling against the helper. So you decide to do it your way. Every time you take the lead, you just took the lead out of his hands. You are now taking the lead. You are being your own leader.
That's a good word.
And that is not a safe place. That's not a safe place. It'll take you into a wrong place. You know, have you ever heard the phrase, well, that person was in the wrong place at the wrong time? I think, now that is silly. That means you're thinking that they could have been in the wrong place at the right time? No way. Honey, if it's wrong, it's always the wrong time. It's always the wrong place. There's never a right time to be in the wrong place. Amen. So when someone's way in the wrong place, no, there wasn't a right time to be there. It's the wrong place. It's always the wrong time. And if you're in the wrong place all the time in the wrong place, well, you've been taking the lead too long. You know, people have said to me, I used to hear the Lord talk to me all the time, but I don't hear His voice anymore. It's because you turned your back so many times. It's hard to hear somebody when they're standing behind you, but when they're right there, you can hear. Amen. But if somebody continues to violate listening and violate the leading of the Holy Spirit, your hearing will become very dull. You don't want that. The more you violate the leading of the Holy Spirit, you will become dull in hearing. Not a safe place. Not a safe place. No, you go and do something your own way, and pretty soon everything falls apart, but you decide, well, I better repent. I can't do it my way. The Holy Spirit's right there to pick up all the pieces, because He's never left you. He will never, 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 never leave you, because He's going to guide you every single day. We're not perfect, but we can learn to listen more carefully. Amen. We can cultivate a love for His voice. You know, it says in John 10:10, my sheep hear my voice. So we want to listen to His voice. Amen. In 1 John 2:20, if you want to turn there, 1 John 2:20, it says, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Well, what is an unction? Kind of a funny word, unction. I have an unction. Well, the unction is the ability to know within. That's what the unction is. You've got a supernatural ability to know something on the inside. You tap into the realm of the answer. You tap into the realm of wisdom. You don't reach up here. You reach in here. This is the realm where the answers are. Always reach within, because that's where your helper is. You know, it's amazing to me that, you know, God is in heaven, and Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Is that correct? That's two-thirds of the Holy Trinity. That means there's one-third of the Holy Trinity that's not in heaven. He's inside of you and me. To me, that is absolutely beyond awesome that God has imparted one-third of Himself to actually live on the inside of you and me. One-third of the Holy Trinity, God put a third of Himself. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So our spirit has information that our mind does not have. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, it says, my people perish because of, number one, a lack of knowledge. But you could also say because they lack in listening, therefore they lack in obeying. You know, I wrote this down one time. The success of the devil is determined by our lack of knowledge, our lack of listening, and our lack of obeying. We fail to follow the voice. And the more we fail, the more successful the devil is. Amen. We don't want to be there. You know, procrastination is delayed obedience. And delayed obedience is flat out disobedience. We don't want to be disobedient. Again, we know and we hear what the devil doesn't know and what the devil doesn't hear. That's amazing. We know things that the devil, he doesn't know that, and he doesn't hear that. So we don't have to be caught off guard. Once again, we're not perfect, but we can improve our listening and then improve and delight in obeying. Amen. We don't want to miss the plan of God. So we can become skillful, more and more skillful in listening. You know, one thing that I've learned, and especially when I was in Bible school, I've learned how important fasting is. And I'm not talking about a 30-day fast. I'm talking about maybe just fasting. Just one meal a day. Like maybe every Wednesday, you just fast your lunch. Now, fasting does not move the hand of God. Faith is what moves the hand of God. Fasting helps me. Personally, when I fast, it causes the ear of my spirit to be more in tune with the voice of my Father. And I want to hear His voice, because He's in there to guide me, to protect me, to lead me into a divine connection. Oh my goodness, it's wonderful when the Lord just told me to go over there, and wow, there's this divine connection. Or He will keep you from danger. You know, you think about September 11th and how many wonderful testimonies we heard, how people, they just knew something. Take the next bus or go 10 minutes late. So many testimonies that we heard that people, they just, I don't know, maybe some of them weren't even Christians, but they just knew just to not do a certain thing, and they didn't, and they're alive to tell. But I'm pretty sure there was a lot of other ones that were in the Twin Towers. And they thought, I know I shouldn't go there, but I just can't miss that meeting. This meeting is just so important. I've just got to be there. Well, they were there and they shouldn't have been. We don't know that, but maybe someday we will. But we need to listen, because it can save our life. Otherwise, you'll get in trouble every time. You can get in trouble every time. But I just know when I fast just one meal a day, it causes me to be more in tune with the voice of my Father. So how do we listen to the Holy Spirit? In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27, the Spirit of man, not the mind of man, but the Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. I want three people to help. Maybe Frank, can you come up and help me for just a moment? And I forgot your pastor's son. You come up. I need one other, anybody, just three people just to come up here really quick. And thank you, Frank, for sharing your testimony from when I was here last time and prayed for. What a testimony Frank has. You hold this side. You hold this side. One more person. Any person. One, two, three. Thank you, Elizabeth. Can you all see that? Or do you want them to stand up on one step up here? One step higher. Just one step. That's, whoa! Hold on there, Charlie. Can you all see that? Can hold it up real high? I just want you to see, we are a tripart being. Man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. But the spirit of man is the real you. It's the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. God speaks to you spirit to spirit, because He is a spirit being. That's why it says those who worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Yes, you can clap your hands, you can jump, that's good. But true worship comes from your spirit. So are you all with me? It's the spirit of man, not the mind, not the body. Okay? That's all I just wanted to make that one point. I want you to see the difference. Thank you, Frank. Amen, amen. Because Proverbs 20, the spirit of man, not the mind, not the body, is the candle or the lamp of the Lord. And one time I was reading in Psalms 18:28, and it says, this is the psalmist who doesn't have the Holy Spirit on the inside of him. And he said, for Lord, you light my candle. The Lord, my God, enlightens my darkness. The psalmist knew that. That's wonderful. Well, we have a candle that's lit by the Holy Spirit. You know, every day you should pray the prayers of the Apostle Paul, especially in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. I want to just read that to you. The Father of glory may give to you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of Him, and the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. Knowledge alone is not enough. You need that spiritual enlightenment. You need the revelation of what the knowledge is. You know, there's something in my book, My Day to Delight in the Lord. There's one scripture in there. I think it's on page 19 or 18. I read it every time before I go into that police car. It says, the Spirit of Truth lives in me. The Spirit of Truth lives in me. The Spirit of Truth lives in me and guides me. Therefore, I have wisdom in every situation I encounter today. Now, I do that every day, but every time before I get into that police car, I say that to myself. The Spirit of Truth lives in me and guides me. Therefore, I have wisdom in every situation I encounter today. And for such a time as this, man, that is something we need to say to ourselves every day and just release that. That the Spirit of Truth is going to guide me and take care of me. So the inner strength, and we need that inner strength to obey the voice of the Lord. It's one thing to hear, it's something else to obey. And once again, when you begin to cultivate a love for His voice, obedience comes so much easier. Obedience comes so much easier. And you want to be quick to obey, quick to repent, quick to forgive, slow to speak. Amen. So when we need a light, God lights our candle. So when you're in a dark room, what do? You light the candles. If the power goes off in this building, well, let's light the candles. Because a candle gives light. Amen. Well, the Holy Spirit gives light to the dark places of our life. The Holy Spirit brings clarity where there's been confusion. Sometimes you're trying to make a decision about something, you just feel so confused. Ask the Holy Spirit, ask your helper, what is the answer? He brings light to where there was confusion. He brings clarity. You know, the devil is the author of lies. He's always trying to trick us. Amen? Let me give you the definition of deception. Deception is to be told a lie and not know it was a lie. That's deception. But the more you know truth, the easier it is to recognize an untruth. That's why I go back to study the Word of God so you can rightly divide it. You can rightly recognize this is truth. But if you don't know the truth, it's hard to recognize if it's an untruth. Amen. The Holy Spirit enlightens us to truth. Our human spirit is what was created into the image of God, that we can know all things. Have you ever been in a situation where you thought, well, I'm going to take this vacation with my friends and we're maybe going to go to a concert or something, and you've planned it for months. You bought your ticket and everything's just all set for go, and you're just all excited about it, and now the time is getting close, and pretty soon you think, maybe just a couple of days before, and you think, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to go. And you call your friends, you know, you guys, I'm not going to go. What do you mean you're not going to go? We've been planning on it for months. I know, but I don't know. I just don't think I'm going to go. Oh, please, no, I'm not going to go. Please, no. I'll buy lunch if you go. Well, okay, if you're going to buy lunch. So then you go. But there was a reason why you should not have been there. Or there was a reason why you should have been at home. And when all the dust settles, you think back, I knew it. You think, stupid. You just violated the leading of the Holy Spirit. And it happens, how many times? It's happened to all of us from time to time. You think, I knew I shouldn't have done that. What was that? That was the Holy Spirit. That was your helper telling you something, but you just didn't recognize it, or you just thought, oh, well, it'd be okay. You don't want to do that. Anytime your peace is interrupted, you stop what you're doing. Stop immediately if your peace is interrupted. Don't be going to the wrong place. Don't make a wrong decision. Never let logic or reasoning be a factor in your decision making. God never uses logic and reasoning. Amen. You want to be sensitive. You've got a spiritual alarm on the inside. You want to be sensitive to those spiritual alarms. If you have a red light, it's kind of like I was talking to Bobby. I say, beep, 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 beep. You know, stop what you're doing. God will never pressure you to make a quick decision under pressure. You want to be quick to obey, but not pressure. Don't rush. The minute you don't have that, you get a red light, you stop and quiet your mind. Just quiet your mind. Start praying in the Holy Spirit. Connect with your helper. Learn to listen to what he's got to say. Don't take one step further until your light turns green. You know, what I'm sharing with you today can save your life. It can literally save your life. You need to follow green lights, not red lights. I lived in Oklahoma one time for a couple of months or a couple of years, and I worked at the City of Faith Hospital. And when I would go home, I used to take the side residential areas instead of making a fast trip home on a main highway, because the residential area, they had this most beautiful homes, and I'm just off work and I'm by myself, I'm just going to relax and go down the residential areas because it's very quiet, so pretty. But one day I'm driving down that road, and I think the speed limit was like 30, 35 miles, and I'm just taking my time. But then on the inside, I heard the Holy Spirit say, slow down. I thought, slow down. Okay, I'll slow down. I'm not speeding. I'm within the speed limit, and there's no other cars around. So I just kind of slowed down a little bit, and the voice said, more. I thought, okay. So I tapped on the, at first I just took my foot off the accelerator pedal, and then he kept saying, more, more, more. Okay, so now I'm tapping the brakes. No cars around. But now I could see I'm getting closer to an intersection where there would just be a stop sign for those people coming in from the side. And suddenly I had an open vision. I saw in this vision a truck carrying a huge cargo of lumber, and the truck got out of control and lumber everywhere. And I just had that vision, and then I'm approaching this intersection. All of a sudden, here comes a truck, great big truck, kind of like what you shared with me the other day. Great big truck. He went through the red light and he turned. He was going so fast and he turned into the same direction I'm going. He's totally lost control, lumber everywhere, and I was far enough back that I saw the whole thing instead of being a participant in it. And the Lord, and I was in a very small, compact car, and that was a big one, those great big construction trucks. And as soon as that happened, the Lord said, if you hadn't obeyed, you would have been decapitated. Thank you, Lord. But see, he's there to save your life. But it can cost you your life if you don't obey. So when you drive your car, just naturally driving your car, you've got alarms in your car. You've got red lights. Check the engine, low on gas, the doors open, beep, 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 buckle up. That thing's annoying if you don't buckle up. Just buckle that thing up. But those alarms are there to protect you. It's for your wisdom. But if you, and we know we drive the car through green lights, but you know you better stop at a red light. But if you don't stop at the red light, what's going to happen? Collision. And it can be a spiritual collision as well as a natural collision. You will have a collision. You know, sometimes when there's a terrible thing happens and people say, now why did God let that happen? That's the wrong question. The right question is, who just went through the red light? God never goes through red lights. You can always look back and think, I think I missed it here, or I missed it here. I just went through a red light. So you listen. You've got a built-in helper. Don't go through the red light, spiritually or in the natural realm. So, and let me just say something really, really important. We know the Bible is the holy written word of God. Amen. Amen. That is the truth. That is the written word of God. But when the Holy Spirit speaks to you about something, that rhema word has priority over the written word. Not to belittle the written word in any way, but you have a helper, and if he is telling you something specifically, you go by that. For example, maybe you're going to go, there's a dangerous situation, and the Holy Spirit has warned you, don't go into that dangerous situation. And you realize it's dangerous over there. But then you've got all this pride, and you think, well, it is written, no weapon formed against me will prosper. That's wrong. If the Holy Spirit says you don't go, that written word does not have priority, what the Holy Spirit just told you. Does that make sense to you? Not belittling the written word, but you have a helper to save your life. So don't be so proudful or be macho that you can just, well, no weapon formed against me will prosper. And which, that's very true. But if the Holy Spirit says don't go, that's priority. Does that help you? Does that make sense to you? Because it can save your life. So how do you recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit? Well, there's three ways, at least three ways. One is that unction, the ability to know on the inside. You just know something. You know what I'm talking about. You just know that you know that you know. And that's called the unction. It's the ability, you just know something. You perceive something. It's just like in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul, he perceived there was danger. He perceived that. The next way is, it's just a still small voice. I just heard this still small voice on the inside. There was a time when I was, in 1986, I had been on one of my missionary trips to Africa, and I was on the preventative for malaria, and I was in a medical clinic way in the bush of Africa where there's so much disease, it was just a very dangerous place, medically speaking, but we were on the preventative and doing medical clinics out there. So much germs and disease and everything. And so I was taking the preventative for malaria, but the day I got home, after being over there a month, I was like, ooh, I don't feel good. And immediately I recognized the symptoms of malaria. So I took authority over that malaria. Now, I'm just going to skip that whole testimony. It's in my book, My Three Miracles. But obviously, I had a miracle. But I was on my deathbed. My family was notified. The doctor said, Marilyn will not live through the night. But I did. But what I want to point out was, in 1991, I was back in Africa. Now, I got stranded over there during the Gulf War. I was stranded for 2.5 weeks. All the evacuations, mainly evacuations, were coming out of Nairobi. I was in a very remote area. They were not going to send one plane for one person. So I was stranded for 2.5 weeks. I finally got somebody to drive me to Bujumbura, Burundi. It took me, I think, 5 days to get home. But while I was still stranded over there, it was about maybe 4 days before I was able to get out of the country, the Holy Spirit on the inside, I knew he was telling me, go see the doctor on the compound. I thought, see the doctor. Okay. So I went to the doctor and he said, well, since malaria is so rampant over here, let's start with a blood test. I said, okay. So he took the blood test and he says, would you like to look under the microscope? And I said, yes. Now, how many of you have looked under a microscope and you've seen all those cells just moving around? Is this message helping you all today? Is it helping you? So I could see all those cells moving around. I told the doctor, yeah, I see them. And he says, take a closer look. Some of those cells aren't round. What are the size? What are the shape do you see? And I said, I looked and I said, well, I see some triangles. Triangle-shaped cells. I says, what are those? He said, malaria. Those are malaria cells in the embryo stage. So in about a week, you're going to be very sick with malaria. Now, just years earlier, I was on my deathbed with malaria, double malaria. So I didn't say anything. I went back to my room that day, And for about an hour, hour and a half, I built myself up on healing scriptures. I read all the stories of Jesus healing healing the sick. What am I doing? I'm building my faith. And then I was praying in the Holy Ghost, Jude 20 says, build yourself up. So I'm building myself up. And then after about that hour and a half, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I took authority over those embryo malaria cells. I said, you will not mature. When I got out of the country, I got back home. The very first day home, I went to the doctor. I said, would you take a blood test and let me look under the microscope? He said, sure. I looked under that microscope. There was not one triangle cell left. Because my helper told me something that was going to happen. He showed me. It says, he will show you things to come. Because you can do something with it. What did I do? I nipped it in the bud. Before it had a chance to mature. That's what your helper can do for you. He'll nip it in the bud, whatever it is. It can be for healing, for making a wrong, bad financial investment or something. Your Holy Spirit is there to help you in every area. It's wonderful. Isn't that just wonderful? I mean, it's just wonderful that we have a helper like that. Oh, Lord, I love your voice. I just love his voice. We want to love the voice. And then the third way you can hear from the Holy Spirit is you can hear audibly. Now, when I was 26 years old and had cancer, I heard the audible voice of God. But I want to share a story with you in closing here pretty soon. A story where there was a young boy. His name was Samuel. And his mother gave Samuel to a man named Eli who was going to mentor Samuel in the ways of God. Well, evening came one day and Eli said to Samuel, Samuel, it's time to go to bed. Let's go to bed now. So they go to bed and Samuel hears, Samuel. He hears his voice. So he gets out of bed and he goes to Eli. Yes, Eli, you called me? And Eli said, no, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Oh, okay. So he goes back to bed. Samuel. He gets up. Eli, I know you called me this time. I heard you. You called me. He said, no, Samuel, I didn't call you. Now go back to bed. He goes back to bed. Samuel. He gets up again. Now he's getting frustrated. Okay, Eli, I know you called me. I know you called me. Eli didn't hear anything, but Eli suddenly perceived. He didn't hear. He perceived Samuel is hearing the audible voice of God. So he says, Samuel, you go back to bed. And if you hear your name again, speak. Say, speak, Lord, your servant hears. He goes back to bed. Samuel. Yes, Lord, speak. I hear your voice. So it's a beautiful story of one heard audibly, the other perceived. So that's how it can be. It can be you can just perceive something through the unction, or you can hear the audible voice. Amen. In Ecclesiastes 7, verse 17, it says, don't be foolish. Why should you die before your time? It is possible to have a premature death. So in closing, I just want to share, how can you know the difference between God's voice and the voice of the devil? That's important to know. Which voice am I hearing? Well, first of all, always follow after peace. If you're hearing something and you feel anxiety or something about it, stop what you're doing. That's a red light. The green light is peace. If you don't have peace, you stop what you're doing. Maybe you have you're talking to the Lord about something, but you still feel anxious. There's fear. God is not the author of fear. God does not give you the spirit of fear, but of love, soundness of mind, right thinking. God gives you right thinking. So if you've got fearful thoughts, don't make a move. If you feel pressured, what does it say in Psalms 46:10? Be still and know that I am God. Just be still till you hear the answer. Confusion. God is not the author of confusion. If you're still confused about something, don't make a move. Don't make a move until you get clarity of vision. Anything that contradicts the word of God, you can be sure it's not God. Amen. So stay with the Lord. Stay with what the word of God says. Always let the peace of God rule your heart. Learn to be quiet. in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. And Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Father, we thank you for your word, and we're so grateful for the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to be more in tune to your voice, that we can love your voice. Lord, we want to love your voice, that you too will take us through the fire. You will take us through every storm of life. So, Father, we praise you. I thank you, Lord, that this word takes deep root into each and every heart. They'll never be the same again, in Jesus' name. And in closing, I would like to ask if there's anybody here today, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, that's the most important gift that you can ever receive. You know, when you ask the Lord into your life, you are guaranteed two things. First of all, you're guaranteed that when you leave this earth, you will go immediately to heaven and be with Father God throughout all eternity. The second thing you're guaranteed is that while you're on the earth, you will have a helper. The Holy Spirit will come and live on the inside of you to always be with you every breathing moment. Just close your eyes for just a moment. If there's anybody here and you've never prayed, you've never asked the Lord to come into your life, I would be so honored to pray with you today. If you've never prayed that prayer or you've drifted away, it's the most simple prayer. All you have to do is ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin and come into your life and teach you his ways. Is there anybody here that you would lift up your hand and say, I've never prayed that prayer. Would you pray with me today, Marilyn? Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Everybody here, you know you're going to go to heaven? Lift your hand, you know you're going to go to heaven. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. If there's anybody here that maybe you haven't received the gift of the Holy Spirit, is that all right, Pastor? If you've never received the gift of the Holy Spirit and you don't have that evidence of speaking in a new language, that is so powerful. The Bible says, build yourself up praying in the Holy Ghost. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you would like to speak in that heavenly language, I would like to pray with you for that today. Can you just lift your hand and tell me if that's you? You can come up here and I would like to pray with you. Anybody else that hasn't received that gift, just come up here. It's a wonderful gift from God. We don't want to miss out on that gift. Amen. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want to come up here? Thank you, Lord. It's a gift from God. Who would want to reject a gift from God? Amen. Anybody else? It's a beautiful gift. You can build yourself up with this gift. You can pray in this gift. You can sing in this gift. This is wonderful. So I'm going to have you all just come over here and face me. And you're familiar with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Anybody else that wants to join them, just feel free to join them, okay? I want to just tell you a story. How many of you know the story about Peter when he walked on the water? You know that story. That was a miracle for him to walk on water. But he could not have done it until he stepped out of the boat. He could not walk on the water in the boat. He had to take a step and get out. Well, for us to speak in a heavenly language, we have to do something. We have to open our mouth and use our vocal cords and just let a sound come out. It's not going to be the language that you know. It's going to be God's language. So it won't make sense to you. We're just going to, by faith, open our mouth and just, Allah, blah, blah, just let a sound come out. But we have to get out of the boat to do it. Amen. So can we do that? Let's all just stretch out your hands towards them. And after they pray, we're all going to speak in tongues. And I want you to pray with them. So say this with me. Dear God, I thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I receive that gift now. And I yield to it. In Jesus' name. Amen. So let's open our mouth and let a sound come forth. Everybody pray with them. Ora samba calabre siempa raba coson de bebequera. Ora mande bebequera de papa papa pepe. Brett, you want to come up and stand behind him? Bobby, you want to come up here? Pastor, you want to come up also? Just open your mouth. Just let the sound come out. Just open your mouth, first of all. That's it. Let's just open the mouth. It's a wonderful gift. You don't want to miss it. That's it. Peace. That's it. Praise God. Okay, you can stop for just a moment. Did you sense that you were saying something differently? Could you sense that? It sounded like you were saying something different. And you don't have to understand it. And just keep trying. It's going to, because you asked for the gift, He's going to give it to you, without a doubt. Thank you, Father, for my brother. He's received that gift. Hallelujah. So this is a gift that you can sing, worship God all the time with it. Praise God. Praise God. That's wonderful. Okay, you can stop. I just want to encourage you now, when you go home, just practice. Just practice with it. When you go home, just practice with it. You've got that. That's wonderful. Can you tell that you spoke something differently? Praise God. What's your name? Wonderful, Jason. Praise God. Thank you, Brad. It's going to happen. Ora manta, just let it, so you can hear yourself speak the sound. Ora manta pepekera. That is it. Boroko sonde, don't try to understand it. Boroko sonde pepekera de papa. Hallelujah. Well, you can be seated. I just want to encourage you just to do that all the time. Just practice at home because it will, you'll get it. It'll come more and more and more. Amen. Hallelujah.